Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. Every week, Steve will give us timely tips for caring for our plants. He'll answer your questions and give us expert advice. Now here's a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Good morning. It's Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone. How are we doing today, Steve?
We're doing great.
Great, huh?
Absolutely.
7:15 in the morning and you're already great.
Well, I got coffee.
Oh.
So that makes it great.
Okay. So what's on tap for today?
Today I thought we would, it's the time, obviously the time of year for enjoying spring and planting, but it's also the time to get out there if you have in the past, or if you want to give it a whirl this year would be a great time to start maybe looking at doing a vegetable garden. In this day and age with, you know, local production and, you know, clean quality as far as food goes, food supply, there's no reason not to have your own vegetable garden. And if you don't have a lot of room, if you don't have a large lawn, landscape, or area where you can do your gardening, you can also do it, you know, raise plants in containers and keep them close to your patio, back patio, different places. And vegetable gardening can be a lot of fun and also, again, you know, produce a tremendous amount of food for yourself and, you know, where it came from, and it's going to be clean and fresh and save yourself some money. Garden seeds and garden plants are pretty inexpensive. Garden seeds can run you a few bucks for some tomatoes and peppers and whatever you're looking for. Also, you can cheat the germination and seed process and then just purchase plants that are already growing in cell packs, and usually can get, you know, 3 to 4 plants for, you know, again, a couple dollars. And, you know, the amount of product or the amount of food that you can get from that $2 investment can be tremendous, to the point where most cases people's gardens, especially in this area where there's plenty of room, most people's gardens are so big, you produce so much, you're giving them away to family and friends. And I think Salina and Portland both have like food stores or food banks where you can take your excess and give it to those food banks, and then they will have people come in that need it, and they can get it for free.
Yeah, so like for the price of buying a tomato at the store, you can buy a tomato plant.
Yeah,
that will give you 15 tomatoes.
Oh my goodness! Oh, way more than that. Yeah, it'll you know, they'll produce for you depending on how, you know, early you can get them planted. They'll produce for you the better part of the summer. I mean, all the way up till frost. If you take care of them, they're going to produce all the way up till frost. So the amount of tomatoes or peppers or whatever you're after can, you know, the amount you're going to get, you probably are going to be amazed.
Yeah.
How much fruit and vegetables you can get from, again, just literally a couple dollars in seed cost. When you're talking about vegetable gardening, and this goes for anything outdoors, green, flowers, grass, trees, shrubs, whatever. I always hear people say, oh, I don't have a green thumb. There's really only two things to having a green thumb. And it's the two basic things, but I mean, it's soil and water. And if you have decent soil, you don't have to have great soil. If you have decent soil and you remember to water occasionally, you're going to have success. I don't care if that's a house plant or, again, if it's a vegetable garden, a perennial garden, whatever you're growing. Soil makes a huge difference in how things are going to grow and develop. You can't just, you know, clear a little bit of grass, you know, off your backyard and scrape a little bit of grass away and then plant a tomato plant and walk away, come back in July and expect, you know, it's going to look great and you're going to harvest, you know, a bunch of tomatoes off of it. There's a little bit more that goes into it. But if you start at the beginning, kind of off the right foot, you're going to have success. And it kind of comes back to the thing I always say, you know, when we're talking about planting specifically like landscaping, don't plant a $100 plant in a $20 hole, which means, you know, don't go out and buy a $100 Japanese maple and come home and dig two shovels full of dirt out, throw it in, flip a couple of clods of dirt back on top of it and walk away and expect you're going to have any success. That's going to be, in my opinion, probably a huge waste of money because that plant's not going to survive. So getting ready for your garden, which means tilling an area up, make sure that it's, I don't want to say a high spot, but it just can't be a low spot. You don't want it to set in water. It can't be saturated. Over a long period of time, it has to be well drained. And we've actually, over the years at the nursery, we've actually been putting in more and more and more raised gardens for people. And they might be vegetable garden. They might be flowers, but they're usually vegetable gardens. And we'll take some timbers of any sort or some stone, rock, retaining wall block, whatever. And we'll build raised beds that might be a foot or foot and a half off the ground. And then backfill with a really good organic topsoil. And the homeowners, I mean, obviously the ones we're doing this for are usually, you know, middle-aged or, you know, getting close to retiring. And they want the garden to play with and to grow stuff. And also, when we're building them up like that, we're actually making them a lot easier to tend. So you can, if it's a foot off the ground or 18 inches off the ground in these boxes that we're making, you know, can be, you know, 10 foot long. We put some in that are 20 and 25 foot long and might have multiple boxes side to side. So you can maybe 4 foot max width. So you can kind of reach across them from either side and kind of tend, take care of your plants, get rid of the weeds. Without crawling on your knees, you can kind of walk up to them things and kind of park your rear end on it, on those boxes that we're building. And then you can, you know, work off of that. And then it's not hard on your knees. It's not, you're not getting down on the ground. But also, those raised boxes create a very, with the soil that we put in, creates a very loose organic soil that the plants are just absolutely going to thrive in. Again, we talked, I think it was last week, about you know, lawn rolling and touched on soil somewhat. This is the same thing in that you've got to have a loose organic soil. You got to have a loose soil so those roots will go someplace. If you're, again, you can have success if you have a large yard and you want to take a corner of the yard and make a garden. That's perfectly fine. You have to kill the turf that's there, get rid of that, till that under, loosen the soil, put organic matter in, whether that, you know, we're in an agricultural county, so some kind of a manure-based material, organic matter that's going to keep that, and then till it in, that's going to loosen that soil up. You need organic matter, and you need pore space, you need oxygen, and mostly when it rains or you're watering, you want that water to percolate through the soil very quickly, and so the roots will grab it, but you certainly don't want the roots, you know, sitting in saturated soils all the time. And again, you know, organic matter will loosen the soil so you have bigger pore spaces. So the
not packed down clay,
that's not going to work really well. So, you know, loosen it up, loosen the soil up again. Organic matter, I always recommend a soil test. Maybe before you get a soil test, or before you start the process, get a soil test. See what it looks like as far as pH, organic matter, and soil fertility. And then once you get your beds or your gardens prepped and ready, maybe take another soil test and see what it looks like. See, you know, compare pH, compare organic matter, and it should be dramatically better than when you started. If you've done it correctly, you should have a lot more organic matter in there. And again, if you start with doing it right to begin with, as far as prepping those beds and getting the soil texture the way it needs to be, you're going to have success. You can't hardly not have success if you start with a good soil. And again, a loose soil, and then you put your plants in and water them, the plants are going to take off. You're going to be amazed. You know, you definitely want to have it in an area where it's going to get plenty of sunlight. Sunlight's important. Obviously, you can't do it under a tree or on the north side of your house. You want to make sure your gardens have, especially the vegetable gardens, have plenty of sunlight. Sunlight obviously makes a big difference in growth. You want it, you know, if you can, you want it out in the open. You want it really should have direct sunlight for between 6 and 8 hours a day, minimum. And then it's always a good idea to have good air circulation. So if you have it out away from the house or the garage or the barn or wherever, where you're going to get good air circulation, it's not in an area that's going to be stagnant. You know, diseases, we have, you know, greenhouses, and we grow in greenhouses, and we have fans inside the greenhouses that constantly move the air. We want the air moving all the time. If you don't, it just sets up a opportunity where you're going to have disease issues, and very much so with your vining crops like squash and cucumbers and even tomatoes. If you have it in an area where it's kind of protected and it's a real stagnant area and you don't get a lot of air movement through there, you're certainly going to set yourself up for having potentially some disease issues. So sunlight and soil, you know, like I said, a rich soil, healthy, the key to that, like I said, is fertility, pH, and organic matter. So you want to, you know, if you start with both of those things, you just can't help but be successful. And another thing too, if you're new at it, if you're just, you know, checking, you know, trying to get started in it, keep it small and keep it simple initially. You know, don't till up a half an acre and put 17 different varieties of plants out there. It's going to be way too much for you to look after and tend to. And then you potentially may not have as much success as you'd like, and then you're going to be feel defeated and want to quit. If you keep it simple, maybe grow, you know, 4 or 5 different things together, and you can kind of watch it and manage it, and then expand out from there. But just don't tear into it and get too ambitious this year and build something that, again, you're going to invest a ton of money in getting it ready, and then through the summer, because everybody's always excited to be out working right now, but when it gets to be July, that enthusiasm dwindles just a bit, and it gets hot, and I don't think I'm going to go out there today. I'm going to let it go.
My dad just had what I would consider a giant garden, and he knew what he was getting into, because, you know, he grew up in the Depression. They grew all their own stuff. I wanted nothing to do with it, and he wanted me to do all of that. As soon as they moved and I bought the house, planted grass seed in there. I was out there. He would be out there every night hoeing and all that kind of stuff, and he wanted me to do all this hoeing in between the rows and get rid of all the weeds, and he wanted me to love what he loved, and I didn't.
Well, Dad always had a huge garden in our back lot, the back lot behind the house where Mom still lives, and it was big. I mean, it was pretty massive, and I always remember him. He always grew a ton of potatoes, which I wasn't necessarily in charge of the installation, but I was always in charge of, he would dig them up, and I'd have to gather them all up and get them up to the house, which wasn't a big deal, but he did have a phenomenal garden. I always remember having fresh potatoes, and we had a room in the basement that we always called the fruit room. It was kind of an old cellar dungeon, what you want to call it, and we would store those, and they'd last the better part of the winter. And then he was just absolutely loved cantaloupe, so he grew tremendous cantaloupe and always had fresh cantaloupe and tomatoes and peppers. We tried corn a few years, but the squirrels always destroyed that before we got to it.
Back 30 years ago, I got some got cantaloupe seeds, corn, planted them. They're beautiful. Now, I only had like 3 or 4 stalks of corn and 2 or 3 cantaloupe plants. And so I was working third shift to Crown. So when I got home in the morning, I'd take a look at it and say, I think one more day. do that. And then I got home from work at 8 o'clock one morning. Thought, yep, going to go picked that cantaloupe, walked over there, and the squirrels had eaten through it and eaten almost all of it. The corn the same way. What came back from work one day, and I thought, man, I kind of looked at some before, and I thought, no, tomorrow. And when I came back, the squirrels had eaten the corn and the stalks.
Nice. They
had eaten the whole thing that day, the day I was going to get that.
Yeah.
And it was completely gone. I mean, there was just a little stub of three corn stalks left.
Yeah, he always had a massive garden, and I always remember he had a specific type of cabbage that he really liked, and we'd always have to put fence up around that because the rabbits would destroy. Yeah. The rabbits are going to, you got to be careful when you're, you know, doing this. Depending on where you're at out in the country, you may have potential of raccoons getting into your garden and tearing stuff up. In town, you're certainly going to have squirrels and rabbits that are going to get into it. I don't have a clue how to keep squirrels out of stuff, but rabbits are pretty easy.
Just put up a sign that says no squirrels allowed.
No squirrels allowed.
Yeah.
You know, rabbits, you can kind of keep them away from your garden with some chicken wire up so high. And Dad always put cages around all the different types of cabbages that he had to keep the rabbits out. And once the cabbage got so big, he'd pull those off, and they didn't seem to bother him once they got big. But when they're little bitty, mm-hmm. Right out of the cell pack, the rabbits would mow those off. And then also, he always grew a lot of green beans as well. And is there small germinated plants starting to grow, rabbits really like those as well, and we never really tried to fence those. I've heard people say mothballs. There's a million things out there that they say will work, but to me, nothing works better than like a 22 would be the most foolproof method to keep that
you
rabbit.
You can't do that in town.
Oh. Well, I think Dad had a pellet gun. It didn't make a lot of noise.
Yeah. Oh, maybe he had a bazooka with a silencer.
Well, I think Biden would frown on that. So.
Yes, he would.
So we'll take a break, and we'll be back.
Now's the time to get a great deal on select Kubota subcompact and compact tractors. Our reliable number one selling tractors are designed for easy operation and feature all the performance matched attachments needed to tackle any job. Right now, get zero down and 0% APR for 60 months, plus save up to $1,000. Now through March 31st, see us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your local Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
Working hard on another project? Maybe you need some practical advice, or perhaps you just want to find a great new tool. Let me be the first to welcome you in. Hi, I'm Mike with Wangler Hardware, and since 1916, this has been the place where the hardworking folks in our area go to get things done. Experience the tradition, selection, and service of Wangler Ace Hardware in Fort Recovery. Stop in and see that we're more than a hardware store. It's all here.
Looking to become a part of a company that uses the vision of their team members to assist them in becoming successful? Cooper Farms does just that. We utilize the ideas and visions of our team members to make our processes better, easier, safer today. The Fort Recovery Division of Cooper Farms is currently seeking individuals to fill open egg packaging and sanitation positions. To learn more about these positions as well as other open positions, please visit cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
This is RJ with the Win on the Wabash Super Raffle. Be sure to mark your calendars for this year's event, August 27th and 28th, 2021, to be held at Ambassador Park in Fort Recovery, Ohio. This year's event will feature the Friday night Tow and Go Raffle, as well as the Saturday Super Raffle. We're set to give away up towards $1 million worth of cash and prizes this year. All details can be found on our website, wowraffle.com. Don't miss out on the event of the year, the 2021 WOW Super Raffle, August 27th and 28th in downtown Fort Recovery.
Wow.
We're back with Steve Stone, a walk through the garden, and we've been talking a little bit about some planting some vegetable garden and things like that. So What else we have, Steve?
Well, we were talking before the break about, you know, getting the garden ready and soil prep and getting your plants in. You know, after that happens, certainly we need to talk about watering and feeding. The vegetable gardens, vegetables in general can be, especially like tomatoes, peppers can have a pretty big appetite. So fertilizing, you can do a couple of different things before, you know, again, the key to that is a soil test, see what's in your soil. And then after that, you can do a couple of different things as far as fertilization goes. There's granular fertilizers that can be applied and worked into the soil. If it's slow release or non-slow release, it kind of depends what you're what you have as to how much you're going to apply and when you're going to apply. If it's a slow release, you know, like a Osmocote type of a material, which will give you feeding over a 2 to maybe as many as like 6 month period of time, that's a granular that you can put in that's micro encapsulated and it will feed over a long period of time. Also, there's all different types of water soluble fertilizers that you can mix up and hose on, do a hose on application, or mix up, you know, in a bucket and then, you know, apply it to each plant. Any of those are going to work. Any of those, you're going to add a tremendous amount of growth and better production with fertilization. Because again, some of those plants, like I said, again, especially tomatoes, can be very hungry over the season. So the more food you give them, the bigger, the better they're going to grow, the better they're going to produce. So fertilization and watering is going to be a key. You know, this time of year usually isn't an issue as far as watering goes because we have cooler temperatures and maybe a little bit more consistent rainfall to keep the plants happy and keep the soil moist. Through the summer when it gets hot and dry, you really want to kind of think about, you know, maybe an inch of precipitation a week and maybe upwards of 2 inches per week. So that's when, you know, getting a maybe a soaker hose or something set up that kind of winds in and around the plants that you can just connect your hose to and then turn it on and walk away and let it run for, you know, a half hour or 40 minutes once or twice a week and keep the ground good and moist so the plants are, you know, consistently growing and they're not, you know, looking for moisture. They're not going to go into a situation where they're stressed due to, you know, lack of moisture. And that, again, watering is going to be obviously a lot more critical when it gets to be, you know, July and August, in that we've got a lot warmer temperatures and we've got, you know, a lot more warmer temperatures and a lot less frequent rainfall. So that's going to be hugely important. And another thing, you know, I'd mentioned soaker hose. Doing something like a soaker hose or like a drip type of a system with your irrigation is always better than like just doing like an overhead watering or a those rain waves that sprinkle, you know, water from the top down. Especially again when you're dealing with vining crops like pumpkins or cucumbers, watermelons, cantaloupe, those can be pretty susceptible to downy mildew, powdery mildew, different types of disease issues. And so the more you can keep that, and in tomatoes even as well, the more you can keep that foliage dry, but keep the ground moist, you're going to have tremendous success because the more you do overhead watering and you keep that foliage damp for a longer period of time or wet for a longer period of time, you're certainly going to set yourself up for disease issues. And also, if you are watering, and I know it's a pain because a lot of people try to do that type of work at the end of the day. When they get home, they go out and water. You really want to water as early as you can in the day or water as early as you can when you get home from work. If you get home at 3:30 or 4 or 5, water as soon as you get home. You don't want to eat lunch or eat dinner, watch a little bit of TV, you know, mow the lawn, and then water everything right before, you know, the sun sets. Because if that foliage is wet going into nighttime, you're definitely going to have powdery mildew, potentially downy mildew. You're going to have all kinds of disease issues. So you really want that foliage of any plant, whether it's a vegetable or anything you're growing, even turf, you want to water early morning, early, you know, early or late night time, like 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. When we have irrigated lawns and we, you know, manage the turf, I always set the systems to come on at, you know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning and try to cycle through and have all that watering done as the sun's coming up. It's better, you're again eliminating issues, because when the sun comes up, the foliage dries off very quickly. There's water there, so if you have a really hot, dry day, the ground saturated or at least moist, and so you don't have that stress issue. And then when it goes into evening and nighttime, that foliage is completely dry at that point, so you're going to eliminate a lot of issues with potential issues with diseases. So again, kind of a lot to think about, but again, you know, stop out. I'll be at Fort Recovery today. I don't know how long. I think we're open till 12, but I'll probably be there longer than that. If you get any questions, I should be out there running around someplace. Also, kind of a, I don't know, kind of an old school type of a thing, but if you do have a bigger garden area, you know, there's lots of annuals and flowers that you can plant in and around your gardens. Zinnias, cosmos, sweet alyssum are plants that are insect friendly. Also plants that, you know, lately I've always heard, and I don't have any research to back that up, but I always heard, you know, planting marigolds around your garden will deter rabbits and certain types of insects. So
I see that a lot. So yeah. I know a lot of people think that, because you see this whole garden full of vegetables and then these flowers.
Yeah. So there are, you know, again, marigolds, they claim will deter rabbits and insects. Some like zinnias and cosmos and sweet alyssum, they don't necessarily repel bad insects, but they actually are known for sure for inviting friendly insects in. And yes, there are friendly insects. They're not all bad. Bees, butterflies, ladybugs are all insects that are beneficial that you want in your garden. So if you are treating, if you potentially have an issue with a specific bug or something that's bothering your plants, you want to be very careful of what you apply and when you apply it, because if you see any honeybees working any of the flowers that might be on your tomatoes or peppers or whatever you're growing, you really want to think twice about applying an insecticide at that point. Because you can, you know, wipe out all your beneficial insects, and that's a bad thing. So be careful of what you apply and when you apply it to make sure that you're doing the best you can to protect, especially the beneficials like the honeybees.
Yep. So
we'll take a break
here. Yep. That'll work, and we'll be back in just a minute or two.
Hi, this is Steve Stone from Nature's Green, and if you need any or all the quality products to get started on your lawn and landscape this spring, we have it at Nature's Green. Soils, mulch, flowers, vegetable plants, seeds, trees, shrubs, perennials, insecticides, fungicides, you name it, we have it. But most of all, we have the knowledge and expertise that will help you get through any project. Stop out and see us at Nature's Green and load up on everything you need, or we can deliver it. Just call us at 419-375-2322. Nature's Green, your landscape's best friend.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
Spring is in the air, and so is the smell of great steaks on the grill. Wayne Street Market has great prices on everything you need. Check out their steak prices.
ribeyes are only $7.99 a pound, New York strips are $6.99 a pound, and T-bones are just $5.99 a pound. Ground chuck is $3.39 a pound, bulk or patties, all no limit. Eckrich hot dogs are two for $3, and packages of Swaggerty brats are $3.99. And don't forget the charcoal and wood chips. And while you're there, get the rest of your party supplies. Chips, soft drinks, beer, and wine. Get up to Wayne Street Market, the best meat market around. The Fort Recovery Community Garage sales are coming up Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, April 22nd through 24th, sponsored by the Psi Iota Xi. The maps are available at several local businesses and also on the Village of Fort Recovery and Fort Recovery Psi Iota Xi Facebook pages. There will be lots of bargains in and around Fort Recovery that weekend, so get your map and plan out your route for the Psi Iota Xi's Community Garage Sales coming up Thursday through Saturday, April 22nd, 23rd, and 24th.
We're back. And Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone.
Yep, we were talking pretty much the whole show here about vegetable gardening. One last thing to kind of wrap up. If you, you know, again, weed control is obviously important. You want to, you know, try to selectively take the weeds out and leave your vegetables happy and healthy. You know, that can be done, you know, with physical removing them with a hoe or rake of some sort. You want to be careful, you know, if you're applying herbicide. I'd really suggest maybe not trying to do that. I would rather see that done mechanically, like I said, with you pulling them out or using some sort of a hoe or rake, especially if you got a smaller area. You really don't need to use herbicide, I wouldn't think, to manage that. Another thing that helps is, you know, some kind of a ground cover around the plants, you know, not up against the plants, but kind of in the rows that you might be working or tending, or the open spaces that don't have plants in them. And some kind of an organic matter like, you know, chopped up leaves, pine straw, a bark mulch, things like that will give you an opportunity to kind of work through or walk through those areas. And then those coverings, ground coverings, are going to, you know, as they decompose and deteriorate, that's just more organic matter for the soil. But that also is a material that's going to inhibit or promote, you know, less weeds. And so that's always, you know, always a good thing. So that was kind of the topic for today. To switch gears a little bit, this is, you know, again, a great time of year for, you know, landscaping and planting and lawn seeding, fertilization. I again, we're getting to the point where if the crabgrass and foxtail hasn't germinated yet, it's going to be very quickly. So you're really at the tail end of getting that pre-emergent down. I guess this weekend is temperatures are going to be relatively cool overnight, even into all next week. I saw some 30s next week. So that might give you a bit of a reprieve as far as if you haven't done that application yet, you still might have time to get out there with those cooler nighttime temperatures. When you put that pre-emergent down, or as far as the germination goes, the germination, you need, it doesn't matter how warm the days are, if you get those cold nights, that's still going to keep the soil temperature to the point where you're going to, those weed seeds aren't going to germinate. But I think we have had enough warm days that there probably is some of that crabgrass and foxtail that has germinated. So we're really to the tail end. I guess I wouldn't recommend not putting it down, but just realize if you do put your pre-emergent down with your fertilizer that you may be somewhat disappointed come July with its control. And that doesn't have to do with the product not working. That has to do with the timing. So if you're applying it this late, again, you may get good germination, you may not, or you may get good control, or you may not. But again, temperatures are, you know, look pretty seasonal. Like I said, I think a little cooler than we've had it, but it's been a little bit exceptionally warm to start the spring. It's still a good time to plant. They are calling for potential, like last night there was a potential for some frost. I was up early this morning. I didn't notice any areas that looked like it was frosted. Next week there's some nighttime lows in the mid-30s. There's nothing really that's kind of up and growing at this point that's going to be hindered at all by mid-30s. Now, if we would get down into the mid-20s, that's another story that potentially could do some damage. But 30 or above, you're probably not going to see anything significant as far as damage goes. And if we do have a frost warning, and I think we probably will, looking at the forecast into next week, if you're going to try to cover something, you know, use some kind of a cloth sheet, anything that's a fabric kind of a based material.
Burlap.
Plastic is not going to work. The plastic sheets, the blue plastic tarps that you can that are easily readily available, those just simply don't work. In fact, those actually can exacerbate the problem. The different types of plastics, they actually can create more damage and harm to the plants than they do good. So if you're thinking about covering anything, you really need to think about some old sheets, burlap, anything that is a cloth.
Or you can even go buy new sheets.
Well, you certainly could.
It's not very frugal.
But
if you want to dress up your yard, you can buy some brand new sheets.
You could potentially use them outside and then wash them and still use them on your bed.
Get that 500 thread count Egyptian cotton that's only $100 a sheet.
Bowl and branch. So we're just about out of time. Thanks very much for everybody that tunes in. Again, please give us a call or email me if you get any questions or if you've got topics that you want me to touch on. Certainly, I could put together a show.
We keep saying get with him for questions, but if there's like topics that you want him to expand on that you don't have specific questions, but you just want to know about it, we take suggestions.
Yeah, we'll take suggestions.
We want to talk about what you want to know about.
Right. Ohio State football.
Yeah.
Yeah. Politics.
Yeah.
Landscaping. We can do it all. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.